When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And if you've subscribed to this, and if you're listening to this, then I hope you're a subscriber. You've heard me talk. You've been around long enough to have heard me talk about a guy by the name of Dan Mishkin. Dan Mishkin is a veteran DC Comics writer who I have had the fortune to become friends with over the last several years. And he and I, the reason I say we're friends now is because I noticed in recent years we've adopted this policy of giving each other a lot of crap. He picks on me about being an quote-unquote artist, not a cartoonist, not a writer and artist, but he calls me an artist, and he does that just to get my dander up. And I like to give him the same kind of aggression back, very much like two guys in the basketball court, kind of in your face kind of thing. And one of the times I gave him a hard time, and this relates to what today's topic is we were at Kids Read Comics, and I forget what he was giving me a hard time about. It was something to do with I didn't have a flip chart ready for somebody's workshop or something. Oh, no, I know what it was now. It was like I wanted there to be drinking at the Drink and Draw event at Kids Read Comics, but we couldn't have it happen. And Dan said to me very derisively, you know, you don't have to drink to draw or something like that. And I remember I responded to him something to the effect of, he said something disparaging about artists, you know, how we're all addicts or something like that. And I responded to him, well, we need alcohol to soothe the pain of having to operate as the imaginations of hack writers. And he gave me a dirty look, and, you know, I felt satisfied that I got him back. And the point of that story isn't that, oh, look, I said something funny, because it wasn't all that funny. It was actually quite mean. I don't feel terribly proud about being mean all the time. But what that story illustrates is some of what we cartoonists have to do as independent professional illustrators and sometimes as comic book artists who work with certain kinds of writers. Now, before I go any further, I want to qualify this because I know that some of you listening are writers, writers first, artists second. And I don't mean to say that that's the case with every collaboration. There are writers who actually can write visually and do a good job of it, and they become a partner with the artist on the work. But sometimes, and I've had this experience when I was just paired up with a writer, a guy I never knew, never met before, and certainly I've had this experience as an independent illustrator, a professional illustrator, work-for-hire illustrator, is you work with people who don't know how to visualize a scene, and they give you a slew of directions that logically is impossible to put on paper. And it can become a demoralizing thing to it can be a demoralizing experience to work in that environment where you're trying to give them what they want, but what they want, what they've written out in this three or four paragraphs, is just not, you can't capture that in a single image. An example I've talked about before in Art and Story is I remember it was a Ninja High School book I did. The writing instruction was, he jumps off the top of the car, flips in the air, spins around, fires off six fireballs, and says these three word balloons of dialogue. And that was panel 3 of 6. So there wasn't a lot of room for me to work with. So those are the moments where a lot of artists will grouse amongst themselves and say, oh, can you believe this? Can you believe what I got to put up with? Writers, huh? And again, it's not all writers. It's just certain writers. But what is the proper response to this, both psychologically and professionally? This is the lesson I learned from the School of Hard Knocks starting in 2002 to about 2004. I began working for a company called the Arizona Nutrition Network when I was living in Phoenix, and I was doing the majority of illustration work for their intellectual property called Bobby B, which you can see at eatwellbewell.org if you really want to see. They still got some of my artwork up on their site. And what I'm bringing up here is not to make fun of them or say that, oh, they were bad because they made me do impossible things, but rather to highlight what I learned during that experience. Because when I was first working for them, I got a lot of really bizarre input from the client on what they wanted. A lot of things that were, like the example I mentioned before, impossible to do. And when they kept giving me change after change and revision after revision and touching a drawing upwards of 50 times, there was one 4-page comic that I worked on for them that I think it took 2 years to finish that four-page comic because I had to redraw it several times for a variety of reasons. But mostly because they didn't have a vision in their mind for what they wanted. And it was when a client or a writer doesn't have a clear vision in their mind and they don't trust you, then that's where problems come into the picture. And that's where it can become very demoralizing for you, because when they give you enough revisions and changes and say, no, just a little bit more this way, a little bit more that way. Could you make his hand bigger? Could you make his foot bigger? He's not smiling enough. That can make you feel bad because you, the artist in the situation, feel like, I'm not doing a good enough job. Otherwise, I'd be able to give them what they want. But the truth is, they're not 100% certain of what they want. And this isn't to say that we should disrespect them for that. It's that we should understand and be patient with that. And here's the most important part. In those cases, we are acting as the imaginations for these people. And when we are acting as the imaginations, that means that they're wanting us for two reasons. It's not just to be an illustrator. It's also to be imaginative. It's to problem solve and troubleshoot and envision what this thing is that they want. Instead of feeling bad about yourself as an artist and feel like, oh, I must not have the skills in order to meet their expectations, what I learned anyway working for the Arizona Nutrition Network is that I have to draw it well, but I also have to really kickstart my imagination to be able to infuse all of these disparate and impossible ideas into an image that approximates what they want. And when I say approximate, I mean that it is essentially what they want, but it's not a note for note picture of the description that they gave you. Let me give you an example. This is just something I'm just going to make up. Okay, here's a description that you might get from a client. There's a giant meteor the size of Saturn plummeting towards the Earth. We see a space shuttle of heroic astronauts rushing to warn the inhabitants of the Earth. The Earth is in full view. The Earth is in the foremost view of the reader, and we are the image should evoke the impending doom of this giant asteroid. Okay, now here's the problems with this image: is that if the Earth is in full view, and this asteroid is the size of Saturn, how do I display that size relationship clearly? Because if I put the Earth far off in the distance, the asteroid may just appear to be something that where foreshortening is happening, where it's actually just close to the reader's eye and it's actually the size of Manhattan. It's about to crash into the Earth. Okay, so maybe I need to have the asteroid farther away. So if I show the moon off in the distance and the Earth is in the foreground and the asteroid is between the Earth and the moon and is clearly larger than the moon, then okay, now we've got that spatial relationship figured out. But where do we put this space shuttle with these heroic astronauts? We have to see the heroic astronauts, don't we? If we just see the space shuttle, it doesn't say heroic. It sort of does, but it won't say heroic the way if we see a determined pilot racing towards the Earth inside, right? And maybe like another pilot, the co-pilot looking out the window at the asteroid fearfully. So your job as the cartoonist then is to, or as the illustrator, the imagineer, or whatever you want to call it, is to say, what's the bottom line? What do they want here? They want dread. They want doom, the impending doom of the asteroid about to crash into the Earth. Now you can play with it a little bit and take some of the impossibility out of the picture and just give them an image that communicates doom. Give them all the elements they want. But ignore some of the direction they give you that is impossible. Like if it's impossible to show the Earth in the foreground, the shuttle in the distance, and the meteorite farther out and still give us the pilots, that would be very difficult to do. How about we have the shuttle in the foreground, the Earth in the middle ground, and the meteor coming towards the Earth between the Earth and Moon's orbit? And it's not exactly precise. If I suppose we could have the shuttle kind of coming from a different part of the orbit, but like if it's coming from the other side of the Earth racing, like if the meteor is coming from the left, the shuttle's coming from the right or something. But that doesn't seem entirely logical, and probably the client didn't really want that in the first place. But you're giving them an image that communicates doom. This is the kind of thing that I did all the time with the Arizona Nutrition Network, is I examined what is the bottom line of what they want here? What is the essential feeling? Let me take 3 out of 5. Of the essential information they gave me. Throw out the stuff that just can't happen and give them essentially what they want. And 9 times out of 10, this was a very picky client, mind you, 9 times out of 10, they loved what I did because I gave them the essence of what they want. That's the tough part. And this is one of those intangible things that's really hard to pin down and give you a bullet point list. You know, I just finished recently reading Seth Godin's Linchpin, which actually I think I talked about in Art and Story Extreme, is a pretty okay book. I wanted to dislike it because a lot of people were talking about it like it was some new religion. But when I read it, I was like, no, this is actually a pretty useful book. And one of the things he says in there is that he was talking about his critics giving him a hard time. He talks about leadership, but he never tells you how to be a leader in so many points. And he said, well, if I could tell you in so many points how to be a leader, then you wouldn't be an artful leader. You know, art, like writing, like any creative endeavor, like any kind of intuitive endeavor, cannot be described in a bullet pointed list. And that's just the sad reality of it. But it's also a wonderful reality of it because it means we all have to find our own way to it. And all we can do is use these provisional words to kind of point the way towards these things. So to get back to my original point, how do you imagine for these people? That's something I can't teach you. I can't describe how imagination works, and most artists would back me up on this. But what I think is the teachable thing here is that when you're dealing with a difficult client or a difficult assignment, or you're working with a comics writer who is giving you, you know, 12 panels where 60 things are happening in every panel, it's important to remind yourself that you are not just an illustrator who is enslaved to provide every last detail that the client or writer has given you. Your job is also to act as a partner in the imagination process and think of the essential vision of what they want and pair out things that don't need to be there. Now, not every writer, I'm not saying that you should do this, with hubris. Like, I'm the artist, that's all. You listen to me. I know how to use my imagination, not you. I mean, my joke against Dan Mishkin notwithstanding, I mean, that was just a joke. But if you partner with the writer, if you say to the writer, hey, here's the thumbnail for this page, I had to get rid of these three things because that was a very difficult thing to try to fit it all in. So I tried to get to the essential core of what you wanted here. Does this communicate to you? And I think if you're working with a intelligent and compassionate writer who is committed to the project, they're going to be fine with that most of the time. And like I said, at least in my own personal experience, most clients like that, because in the case of most clients that I've worked for, like me personally, I mean, I can't speak for Kevin and Mark and Sarah or other independent illustrators that I've worked with in the past. But in most of the clients I work for, I'm working with an ad agency who is acting as a broker for a client who cannot draw. They cannot draw, but they can tell me essentially what they want. And usually they give you more than essentially. They give you a bunch of details that don't fit. And then it's up to you to imagine what the main essence of the image needs to be. And this is a key skill in comic storytelling, even in your own work, when you're trying to filter through all the choices that you have. I've got too many choices here and where to go in the story. What's the essence? What's the main idea? What's the big idea of each of the story, of the characters, of each individual moment within the story? A lot of big ideas to consider. And I think that that's the skill set that is the most sophisticated and profound of being a comic storyteller. And this is the main reason why in every one of my comics workshops, I start the workshop with an image of a comics page I drew when I was 10 and one that I drew when I was in my early 30s. And I say, which one is better? Everybody always points to the one that I did in my 30s, or most people do. And I make the point that, look, drawing something you get better at no matter what. Don't worry about that. What's more important is to learn how to be a storyteller, and the drawing thing will come second. If you know how to tell a story first, it doesn't matter how bad your drawings are, because you're still going to capture the imaginations in the minds and the hearts of your readers. So think about that in the future when you're thinking of yourself as a freelance or professional illustrator. You're also a freelance or professional imaginer? Imagination expert? Maybe imaginer makes more sense, but it sounds too much like imagineer. Well, if you guys have any thoughts or input on what word we should use for that, you can post it in the Art and Story forums. How about that? So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz of jdroz.com. Jersey on the Twitters. Thanks for subscribing. And don't forget, Supreme Art and Storyers, is that we got that contest going on for Kids Read Comics right now. And you can get an extra year tacked on to your subscription as a prize for participating in that contest. That's at bit.ly/KR contest if you want to participate in that. We'd love to have any extra promotion we can get for the Kids Read Comics event. And I hope some of you guys can actually come out for the event. We got some really cool workshops. I just added a couple more today, some perspective drawing workshops that I think some of you storyers would actually get a kick out of, taught by a guy who teaches at the College for Creative Studies in Detroit. So, okay, I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, remember...
Today's story was about something more precious, more valuable than gold or silver. It's called friendship. Orko learned that friendship can't be bought. Giving somebody a present may get that person to act as if he or she is your friend, but don't be fooled. A real friend is someone who likes you for yourself, not your presence. So don't try to buy friendship. Just be yourself and treat others with honesty and respect. And then you'll know the friends you make will be real ones.